I'm in Andrew Fisher-Tomlin's front living room in London, and in my company today is
Will Williams.
Should probably hit the intro jingle.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sideshow Garden Podcast.
Tune to another episode of The Sideshow at Sideshow on Twitter, facebook.com/TheSideshow, sideshow.com. With thanks to London College of Garden Design, whose name you've probably heard crop up over a few episodes, and you're going to hear them in a few more as well. But they've done a thing that just put a bit of weight, do I call it that, in every sense of the word, support to The Sideshow, and make a gaggle of interviews possible and a little bit easier. And for that, I'm really very grateful to today's guest. Well, we've met each other on a number of occasions, I'm proud to say, and we do have, it's funny, it's quite a small industry and you don't really realise, oh, you know, he knows him and he knows him. It's like being at there's somebody at the door. Can't believe this. Hold on a sec. Sorry about that. yeah, you don't really realise how small an industry it is. We were speaking to Naomi Ferret-Cohen and you popped up in conversation, and then I was talking to Andrew Wilson, who you obviously know as Joe Thompson, and another former guest of the show. And again, your name pops up just by saying, oh, did you bump into, oh, it did. You wouldn't want to be how would you say it? It's quite a small industry.
It is, yeah, no, it is a very small industry. I mean, I think a lot of people know everyone. I mean, if, like, as you said, I mean, I know Joe Thompson, know sort of Kate Gould, Andrew Wilson, Fish Tomlin. It's a very small industry. I think that's the nice part about it, though.
I was saying to Joe that when I met her at Chelsea, I was standing next to her garden with the editor of the RHS magazine and another friend of mine also works for the RHS, Ben Brace, and James Basson was there with Helen and he ushered me into the garden, and Joe just walked straight over and says, I heard your interview last night. And I'm saying, it's the day before our press day. And she went, yeah, but it was Andrew's. I knew it was going to be. I'm unsure where my head was heading there. I think the point I was making, that even when the Sideshow interviews play, it's funny that people who know them listen into them and then say, well, I never knew that about them. But that's, I think, a little bit comes down to running around inside my head. Yeah, there's a insert joke here emoticon thing going on. Let's go back to the start. What and who is Will Williams?
So I run my own garden design practice based in Southwest London. We've won 3 RHS medals. My most recent one was at RHS Tatton Park, where we got the RHS Young Designer of the Year award, which was absolutely fantastic. And I design on a day-to-day basis. I also project manage, so that takes up quite a lot of my time. So, but I really enjoy it, which is the main thing.
Bring me through the tree. There's people around. Andrew, you got a delivery here. You got a delivery. Yeah, it's all right. Yeah, do you want to say hello?
Cheers. Hello, everybody.
It never goes according to plan, does it? Yeah, Will was saying to me, he just listened to Matt Keightley's interview and he was in a taxi telling the taxi driver to tune in and listen to it. But I can't remember where we were now.
Well, we're talking about show gardens, talking about...
Yeah, bring me back to the first one.
So my first show garden, that was back in 2016. It was called Streetscapes Summer in Sussex. Streetscapes were the headline sponsor, and all the apprentices built the garden. It was a small city garden. I believe I was 20 at the time, and I mean, it was madness going into Hampton Court for the first time at 20. It was picking up a lot of press, and I sort of forgot about the garden in a way. I was a bit like a headless chicken running around, and then saw the sponsors and they sort of calmed me down a little bit, got the garden built and managed to get a silver, which was absolutely fantastic.
Okay, what was the second one then?
Holding Back the Flood, and that was all based around a small town in North Yorkshire called Pickering, and how trees and plants can help prevent the risk of being flooded. So it was a conceptual garden, and we actually flooded a small section of Hampton Court with 52,000 litres of water, submerged a load of trees as well, which was quite good fun.
That one's kind of caught my imagination. That's why I just loved conceptual gardens. I think sometimes you can take a little bit more out of them. Bring me to the third one.
So the third one was at RHS Tatton, and in the Young Designer of the Year category. And what we wanted to try and get across in the garden was that you could have a wildlife-friendly space, yet also not losing aesthetic value. So we had lots of different things in there which would benefit wildlife, our insect hotels, but we wanted to try and do them in a more aesthetically pleasing way. So we inserted them into our main wall and everything was flush, looked very neat and tidy and quite contemporary. The whole garden was about 90% bespoke. So we designed all of the bricks. We had all the paving cut down to size, all of the copings we all designed. So there was lots of things in there that had to be thought out a long time ago. Many meetings with London Stone, one of my sponsors, and Hortus Loci, the other.
And how did the Young Designer competition go for you?
Really well. Came out winning, which was fantastic. I mean, it was brilliant. I mean, we had some serious build conditions up there. Planned for everything. We planned for rain, snow, high levels of wind, but we didn't plan for extreme heat, which we're dealing with sort of 30 plus degrees each day. So all of our hard landscape materials were just setting far too quickly. So we had to spin that around and try and come up with a solution for building our walls. And I don't know if anyone saw the garden, but there was quite a lot of hard landscaping in there. So it was quite a tricky thing to overcome that, and it took us about a day and a half to figure out a solution. And a day and a half in the real world isn't too much, but in a show garden that's a long time.
So you're officially the 2018 Young Designer of the Year. You've tended, and so far in conversation you've tended to play that down a bit. It reminds me a bit of myself, as most listeners will be aware, and that I'm not great at taking compliments, I suppose, or people saying, hey, I think you're great, and you go, please, seriously, I just, you know, I've got, you know, matching socks on, that's about the height of it. Do you realize that you do that?
I think that's just sort of who I am, my sort of personality. I don't like to brag. I don't like to sort of give away too much. I keep my cards quite close to my chest, but I mean, yeah, it was brilliant. And what we've got out of it as well has just been fantastic. I mean, coming on the Sod Show for one is brilliant. Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's fun.
But I know people who've been finalists in the Garden Media Guild Awards or shortlisted for a garden blog award or a garden competition, and they'll happily put that as their Twitter banner or Facebook banner or something else. And it wasn't until having met you on a couple of occasions, it wasn't until another said it to me, do you know Will won Young Designer of the Year? And in such short terms, as a by the way, we have had Max Harriman on, we've Caitlin McLaughlin on, there's a few others in there who've been Young Designer finalists. And I think the Sod Show over the last couple of years has tried to do something for whether they won or didn't win or were just even part of it, because from talking to the others, it's quite a tough competition even to be brought to the table. Even to get there, I would consider an accolade. As to whether you win or not is a slightly different, and sorry, just to bear with me here, folks, for you listening at home, if I put out a record, Peter's music analogies in mind, and you put out a record, you, Mary, listen, and Will puts out a record, well, it's up to the judges as to which they think is the best, and that's a little bit down to choice. As whether he wins gold at Chelsea, and you could have 20 goals on Main Avenue hypothetically, or you can have 20 silvers. Nobody can get gold if that's required. So it's not a judging thing. It's who do we think is the best. The best isn't awarded in the same way a medal is awarded. So to be invited to the table, to be good enough, a la the interview I did with Max Harriman, to come to the table, to be considered a finalist for the Young Designer of the Year, I would consider that on its own a pretty huge merit. And to win that is, to me, it's absolutely huge. And I spoke about this yesterday actually with Isabel Coulter, who's the show manager at Tatton and does a fantastic job there.
So, I mean, Isabel and all of the show managers of all the RHS shows and the staff are all brilliant and have helped me a lot. I know that up at Tatton, when we were having our problems, they were sort of pushing us, and sort of the team were there when we needed them, which was priceless. But yeah, being invited to the table was enough for me. I think that all of us up there, we just wanted to create a garden that we could be proud of, something that could be a great portfolio piece for us all, and get some good images and hopefully get some work out of it as well. And I think we've all done that.
Were you a little bit unusual? And I'll base this on previous conversations I've had with Isabel, with Anna Skibnevsky Ball, another former guest of the show, as is Isabel, I should say. Anna is the show manager in Cardiff, but also with the conversations I've had with some of your tutors and speakers in London College of Garden Design. I'm not mentioning that for inverted commas advertorial sake, I promise you. But you have done two show gardens prior to doing the, or being involved in, some people may volunteer to be a part of or to help out on a show garden. You designed two and essentially built two under your own banner prior to going to that. Were you a little bit the exception as versus the norm? Did the fact that the sponsors, as you worded it, cooled you down slightly or kept you on track in the first show garden, did you have a little bit of a, how would you say it, like a new left back come in to play for Arsenal? Like, I was going to say young Ashley Cole, but I'd get into trouble for that. You know, you've played three games more than the other guys who've then stepped up to the first team. Is that a decent analogy? Do you get what I'm saying in that?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think my first two had given me a lot of experience, which helped me out up in Tatton. But I think that also added a bit more pressure to it as well. I found personally that there was a bit more sort of want and drive and sort of to show what I can do, and really sort of wanted to get the gold, and because I'd gone silver gilt, and sort of the next progressional step was to get a gold, and we managed to do that, which was brilliant. And as soon as I got it, I was absolutely thrilled. But I think it did help, definitely, sort of to show experience, things that others may not have known. But I think that a lot of the designers there had, as he said, sort of volunteered with previous show gardens, done a lot at Chelsea Flower Show for top huge designers. So I think that they would have also had a bit of inside knowledge, but I think it definitely helped me in my personal experience.
I found building show gardens, and I know I've spoke to whether you're the top designers done Chelsea 20 times over, or level irrespective as the point I make, or standard or size of show, that when I came, bear with me, I'll get there, I promise. But I spoke with a friend of mine who's involved in the music scene, and he'd played Glastonbury. And we were talking about when you come down off, when you get down off the stage and you arrive home, and essentially you wake up on a Tuesday or Wednesday morning and you're just in your, I don't know, pyjamas having a cup of tea at the back garden. But you've had the buzz the couple of days beforehand, and the media and the people coming up and congratulating you, and you've won this shiny thing. When I did show gardening and that cliff face came to an end, or build takedown happened and that was all done, and then you went to building, let's call it real gardens, there was like a, almost like a withdrawal. And I found it an odd sensation when I first did that.
Definitely. I mean, I think that once you sort of do the show garden, you're there, you're having an awesome time, sometimes hating it as well, but majority of the time you're enjoying it. And so once you've sort of done it, I'm now thinking about the next one. I have definitely got what they call sort of the show garden bug, and hugely excited for sort of the future and what I want to do and where I want to go with it and who I might be able to go along there with as well. So definitely, I mean, the show gardens and their bugs and their sort of their grit and their dirt and their sort of need in sort of a designer, I think they come and they go. But at the moment, for me, I definitely sort of want to progress with the shows and do some more things.
Where are you now, or maybe I should take that a different direction. What was the first garden that you did under Will Williams Garden Design? Do you remember that?
I do, actually, yeah. No, I was so I started my company when I was 19 years old, and I was actually at my sister's birthday party, and I was just talking to a guy there, and we got chatting, and he said, "Oh, my dad's a property developer. You guys should get in touch." So I sort of thought, "Oh, okay, yeah, no, that sounds great." But sure enough, I got a call from a property developer about a week later saying, "Oh, Will, come up. I've heard that you do garden design." I said, "Yeah, no, it's brilliant." So there's just a product just outside of Oxford, and arrived there, six sort of luxury houses, and ended up walking out there same day with the contract in my back pocket. It was unbelievably brilliant. That was one of my first larger scale projects where I was dealing with large contracting companies, large scale architects, and playing with the big boys, really. So at 19, it was fantastic, but also a little bit daunting. But we got the job. We got the job done. The clients were extremely happy with what we managed to create, which was the main thing. Bit of a funny story, but in the end of it, it's how people do business. I think you sort of meet people at parties, or you meet people over coffee, and you discuss. And I really like that, how people can help everyone out in a way, which I think is really important. Which is what I think the horticulture industry does so well. There's lots of events to go to, there's lots of things happening, networking's massive, more and more people are more happy to open their doors to you.
What has been the latest garden? And in the middle of that question, how long are you now in business?
So I've been in business for now about 3.5 years. My latest project is quite a large scale one down just outside of East Grinstead, where the property has just been built, fabulous place, but the garden is an absolute mess, and it sits on about 2.5 acres worth of land and has beautiful views out of the back, has fivefold doors, but the levels are an absolute nightmare. It drops from one side to the other about 3.5 meters, if I remember correctly, over the space of probably about 50 meters or so out the back. At the moment, we're at the stage of planting process, which is brilliant. It's one of my favorite stages, where we can start playing around and getting a bit of advice from Hortus Loci, the nursery that we're using. Might even be going out to Holland as well to go pick them.
For those of you listening at home, by the way, I'm 6 foot tall. 6'1" to be exact. 6'1¼" or something like that. I don't want to get too pedantic. 6'1" is 6'3" in high heels, as you. But okay, I'll leave that bit out. Where was I going? Yeah. So if I'm 2 meters tall, is essentially what Will is talking of, a fall over the left-hand side of the garden as you look out to the right-hand side. Irrespective of over what distance, it's colossal. So you've got a little bit of it. It's a trickier one. When you walk out, you see it all level. And I think one of the things is, what did somebody say to me? Peter, you, for my real job, this is. Peter, what you do for a living is you take something that has never existed, explain that dream to a client, a word I'm not really fond of, but nonetheless, and they say, "I like what you see with your eyes closed." Is that a fair way to describe what you and I and Andrew et al. Do for a living? Essentially, as I described at Landscape Show, it's taking a dream, turning it into an equation, and making it only ever appear like a dream always. Because I think the alternate is finding the equation for falling in love. And once you find that, it never works. It's always broken. It's never a teenage kicks. It's never the Undertones playing, or who told me their wedding song was Aerosmith. But is that a fair description of what you now do for a living?
Definitely. I think putting out your creation, your mind, you're effectively, I was thinking about this in the car on the way over here, actually. I was thinking how you go about selling the design to clients. And I think it's very difficult to say, I've got a very good idea and I want X amount of money for it, but without actually giving them the idea yet. The clients have got, I think, quite a lot of trust in you as a designer to come up with a fantastic scheme, a scheme that will work, a scheme that will give them everything that they want. And giving that to them, I think sort of visualizations and things like that are so important. So that's what I try and focus mainly on when I do my presentations to the clients. It's always a lot of visuals, because I think that's how the clients can relate to the garden and see it and actually feel it. And sometimes I do videos and walkthroughs and to try and show the client as much as I can and have good level of detail in there so they can actually physically see it and what it would be like.
It's a bit like seeing inside somebody's head. When you get that walkthrough thing, I mean, if you were going to buy an apartment in, I don't know, Marbella or the Dominican Republic, and it hadn't been built, and they were luxury penthouse, it comes with a free yacht type of thing. That's the type of video that they would show you, albeit it would be, I think in garden terms, it's quite difficult because plants grow and they photosynthesize. And so it is always the dream with bricks. That's the wall and that's that. And so for gardens that create have a lot of hardscaping and trees that do what they're told, books of Sempervirens, and we're back to it again, aren't we? Betcha Jackie Monty, or pleach trees, they invariably appear as they should appear, but then the leaves fall off and things come into flower and things change. So it's quite a difficult one still, and people always invariably will say to me, never appeared like I thought it would, because now it's in flower, where in the drawings you can and can't show everything in flower at the one time. I mean, you can't, you know, it's like you may as well bring them into the future if you're going to do that, because by the time it's come into flower, it's now actually 3 inches taller. And what's the future for Will Williams garden sign?
Well, Chelsea Flower Show is my dream. I remember a story actually at college. It was our first day at the London College of Garden Design, and you have to sort of stand up, introduce yourself, give a little bit of a talk, who you are, where you want to go, why you chose sort of garden design. And I remember saying I was 18 actually at the time, saying, oh well, I want to be one of the youngest garden designers to ever exhibit at Chelsea Flower Show. And I got laughed out of the room. But I mean, that's still my dream. I'd love to be one of the youngest, standing shoulder to shoulder with some of the best in the industry. But I think that for me is quite a large career goal. And when I hit that, I'll be extremely happy and know where I want to take everything. And then I think that will steer me in the direction of larger scale designs, possibly some more overseas. And so, no, I'm very excited about where the future for us is going.
Is that another knock at the door? This is worse than squeaky doors. I don't know what it is about doing the sideshow that I just end up with interruptions all the time. Where were we?
Show gardens.
Ah, show gardens. Do you remember where you were in the conversation?
How Chelsea's going to be, well, hopefully will be a bit of a personal goal for me. We're trying to focus on that at present, come up with the ways of going about doing it. I mean, if anyone knows about it, I mean, it's quite a long process and there's quite a lot of money to find as well. But then in terms of the actual business side of things, what we're looking to achieve, the five-year plan is to continue growing. I hire people on freelance at present. So hopefully when we get our own premises, we'll then start be able to hiring people full-time, grow and grow and grow, which is what I really want to do with it.
We had a conversation at the landscape show. I think you might be coming down to Cardiff to do a talk with Anna.
Possibly, yeah, possibly. I mean, again, meeting Cardiff show manager. I mean, that's where it all happens, apparently. But I mean, it'd be great to go down to Cardiff, do a bit of a talk, let people know what's occurring, see where it goes.
You'll be on stage with one of the greats.
Is that yourself?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks Will. Appreciate that. 3.5 years in business, yeah, I have that right. You started a business when you were 19, yeah, not of approval. So that makes you 22 and a half. I went down my own when I was 24, going 25, so you're a bit behind me, or ahead of me, my apologies. 1, 2, I did probably 4 years in college, so I've got a valid excuse, or I've got a letter from my mom to say, that's okay, Pete, you work away that way. Where did the college sit in between the 3 show gardens and the 3.5 years?
So, well, I left school when I was 16. Didn't really know what I wanted to do. Wasn't hugely academic, but was always very creative. I was sitting on Brighton Beach, actually, with a load of my friends, and I got a phone call from my mum saying, oh, do you fancy working with the guy who's building our fence at the moment throughout the summer? And I said, absolutely, that would be brilliant. Bit of ended up not needing me anymore afterwards. So then found another job for a different landscaper and ended up working with him for about a year and a half. And then wanted to study and learn a little bit more about the plants and how they grow and where they're suited best. So went and studied horticulture for a year whilst working with a garden maintenance company. And that really taught me a lot about how to grow things and what sort of the correct method of doing so. We touched on design there very briefly, and I absolutely fell in love with it instantly. I thought, right, that is exactly what I want to do. So went and studied at London College of Garden Design, made great friends with one of the tutors there who's sort of now my mentor as well, Andrew Fisher Tomlin, and he's sort of helped me along the way quite a lot with sort of opening doors, introducing people to me, which is brilliant. He was actually the one who gave me the ultimatum of sort of saying, oh well, you can go and work for a company for sort of 5 years time and you'll learn how an office goes around, it'll be great, the learning curve will be okay, or you can go and set up on your own, learning curve will be extremely steep, and in 5 years time you'll have a pretty established company if you're still going. That excited me a lot at the time and still does now, so I definitely haven't looked back, and he was the one who sort of pushed me over the edge of the cliff, really.
But he hit the nail on the head, and I'll take this from a personal point. I remember when I went out on my own, I remember my accountant saying to me, he said, you just got to stay in business for the first 6 months later. But actually, I had a date written down in my diary because I went out on my own on the 2nd of January when the weather was terrible. But when is a good time, says you? And I went back and I said, Morris, I'm 6 months in business. He goes, well, you just got to make it a year now. So 2nd of January, I called him. And he answered the phone. He always does, in fairness. I said, what do I do now? He said, you just got to stay in business for 3 years. I said, what do I do after that? He said, well, then you just got to stay in business. But when you see the dream, the picture postcard with palm trees and the show garden medal, that thing that I alluded to, which was coming off stage and the drop down and the new garden and the picking plants in Holland or Italy, there is a bit behind the scenes where you do have to stay in business. There are costs to, as we discussed off air, buying computer programs, to buying equipment, to putting diesel in your vehicle, and it tends to add up. And it's a huge credit to you, irrespective of age, whether you're 712 years of age or 19 years of age, that you've managed to stay in business for that amount of time. And on my part, I put a massive element of thanks, appreciation, and I would say, like holding hands, like we're almost all on a journey, you've got your own business, but the people who I surround myself with, I can't emphasize how important they are in my life. Even just discussing a problem, it doesn't necessarily need to be a landscape problem. And that's a friends / business kind of thing, and that's hugely important as well. But gather you've had a great deal of support somewhere in there that is not, in inverted commas, photosynthetic or of horticulture.
No, definitely. I mean, as I say, sort of Andrew was sort of my mentor. He's been my go-to man. I mean, when I got my first overseas project a couple of months ago, he was the first person I rang after my meeting. Got chatting to him, told him all about it, and he said, go for it. And I just needed that extra little bit of confidence that he gave me and he continues to give me, just by, if I've come up with a great idea for a show garden but I don't really know where to take it. So having someone like that, someone who you can go to, I think is hugely important. And I think the industry is doing more and more to be able to allow that to happen, and more people are willing to help the younger generation sort of up through the ranks.
Well, what do I say? It's kind of a watch this space one, isn't it? Be interesting to see what happens, because I have to give you huge credit in, I think, your timelines. As I've been listening to you speak, all I can say is congratulations on still being Young Designer of the Year 2018, getting to that, doing 3 show gardens, 3.5 years in business, and 23 years of age, 22? 22 officially, yeah. It's a pretty impressive resume already, and above and beyond all things. I'll go back and say what I said to Joe Thompson a couple of weeks ago, and that was that for me, there's always a respect for the person first of all, and then there's a respect for their work secondary, and then the two tend to meet in the middle. And everybody I've spoke to has said to me, either A, you have to have Will on, B, why haven't you had Will on? And I'm saying, who's this Will guy? Why is he better than me? He sounds more popular than me. I don't think I'm too fond of him anymore, but I understand entirely why. Everybody seems to just have such great time for you. Fingers crossed, when you're even more popular than me, you'll want to come back on and have a chat in the Sideshow.
Thank you very much, Peter. A pleasure.
Excellent. For you listening at home, drop us a note at Sideshow on Twitter, facebook.com/ Sideshow.com. Yeah, I had to think about that just a little bit. Take care. Have a good one. So long. Cheers. Bye-bye.